I just love the challenge of these days, the celebration Sundays that we do once a quarter, where we come together and we do have our little people with us in the service, and that's in the primary age level of the first service. And particularly, I want to honour those of you who, in the heart of winter, now that we're into the heart of the winter, come to the first service. Because every year what happens is, through summer, some people will start drifting back from the second service to the first. And then through winter, they drift from the first service to the second. So the second service is going to be stacked this morning. But you just need to be on it. I mean, you got up early this morning, on a brisk morning, and came to church and made a great choice. So congratulate yourselves. All right? Yeah. That's good. We want to take a little look. Do you remember late last year we filled out a booklet of a whole heap of questions that was called the National Church Life Survey? Don't know if you've been reading the newspapers, but you've seen a number of very positive articles about the Christian church in Australia. Featured in the West, featured in the Australian on the weekend and through the week, and newspapers right around the country. Because what has happened, and the trend that has occurred, is actually the downward slide of the church in Australia has been halted. And now the Christian church is beginning to grow again. But the Christian church that is beginning to grow again is a church that is more deeply committed in a personal relationship with Christ, which is often what happens out of hard times or difficult times. And so there's a fresh optimism for the body of Christ. Now, one of the things that we did, and we need to understand, we need to interpret a couple of things. Over the particular Sunday that we filled out the forms, we had 352 forms. Now, that's about a third to a half of our total congregation who could fill out the forms, but probably half of those who could fill out the forms of the age group, young people and upwards. And so we have a broad cross-section in the life of the church where we had feedback. During the week, Mike Bullard, who works for Churches of Christ and is a trained consultant with the National Church Life Survey, came out to the team and just unpacked our results for us and got us to think about a few things concerning our uniqueness as a church family. And there are some amazing things that began to unfold for us. For example, we began to see some amazing paradoxes. In other words, there seems to be leadership affirmed, but leadership not affirmed. There seems to be a great sense of belonging, but at the same time, people don't feel as included as they could feel in the life of the church. And so we were quite confused when we first looked at the information, and it was helpful to have Mike come and begin to unpack that for us and help us explore that a little bit more. So we appreciated his input. I'd like you to have a look at this first slide here, because if you have a look, basically, the next one, basically you'll see a number of areas. The top three items there are faith, worship, and belonging. They are internal core values that were measured. And this was what was done right across the churches that were involved in the survey. The second level was the inspirational core values in the life of the church. The vision, the leadership, the innovation. And then the third level there were the outward core values, and they are the core values of service, faith sharing, and inclusion. How included people feel in the body of Christ. And there were three basic church attendance measures that were compared, because we'd previously filled out the survey, and so they sort of gave us a little bit of a pattern of how our church has gone over the last 15 years or so. And the attendance measures were young adult retention, newcomers, and attendance change, what has occurred in the life of our church, and how we compared to the city of South Perth and the other churches in the city of South Perth, how we compared to the other churches in WA and across the nation. So it's a very interesting bit of feedback. But what we wanted to do today was challenge you about some of the paradoxes. and say, will you wrestle with us? And in actual fact, what we want to do tonight is in our evening service, we're actually going to take some time to look at the questions that Mike and as a team we found ourselves thinking about. Questions that we need to wrestle with and maybe seek God's guidance in relationship to. And we'll spell out a couple of those questions that stimulate us. But briefly this morning, what we want to do is look at some of these paradoxes. And Rod's going to introduce three of those to us at this point. Thanks, Mike.
Morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to be able to share the presence of God with you. I just want to make a few introductory comments before I get going. I have three areas or three particular focuses that I would like to just speak into as we've looked at the data that has been given to us. But I just wanted to say that from the outset is that, you know, we as a leadership team are really passionate about this place. And when I think about South Perth Church of Christ, all sorts of emotion and feelings well up in me because this is the place where I found life. This is the place where I found Jesus. And when I think about the future and where we're headed, I have to be honest, a little bit of fear and trepidation. What does trepidation mean? But fear, I fear a little bit of what the future may hold. But I'm also very, very excited about what God has in store for us because I think there's some wonderful things ahead. And this morning, we pray that you would hear our heart in what we have to share, these paradoxes. Please hear our heart because there's no way that we want to bring any condemnation this morning. We want to encourage you just to continue to love Jesus, continue to proclaim him, and continue to grow in your relationship with him. So these paradoxes, there's some great things we need to celebrate, being a celebration service this morning, and there's some definite growth areas. So there's three areas I want to focus on. The first one is vision and direction. The second one is I want to look at our generosity as a church. And then the third one is the 30-somethings. There's a real spike in our age graph there, and I want to just speak into that a little bit. So the first section is vision and direction. We don't have a slide for this, but just go with me on the data. 78% of the people who filled out the survey are committed to the vision and the direction of this church. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty high. That's nearly 80% of those who surveyed the church are for it. Is that awesome? That's good. We also then have, on the other hand, so here's a paradox. On the other hand, we have 22% of those surveyed who, I'll just split them up. They came out at 11% and 11%. 11% are aware and are not committed to the vision and the direction of this church. And then there are another 11% who are unaware of any clear vision and directions. Now, what do I draw out of that? Well, first of all, I think we need to celebrate that nearly 80% of us are like, we're committed to this vision and the direction of this church. That's nearly over three quarters of the people who did the survey. Now, what about the 22%? You know, that's nearly a quarter of those who filled out the survey who are not on board. And I got thinking about that. Why potentially could that be the case? Well, the first thing that I thought was, you know, maybe they're just not aware of what our vision and mission is. And so maybe there's an area there that we can grow in, getting that out, that vision and the direction a bit more clearly. And then the second thing is, well, people just disagree with where we're headed. Now, you know, the longer that I've been on the ministry staff now for 12 years, and the more I journey with this thing called church, we've got to take reality checks every now and then. And a huge reality, unfortunately, is that not everyone is going to be on board in a particular direction. And that's just a reality. But the God part of me, or the hope part of me, when I look at this church, I hope that that quarter who's not on board would somehow, by the Holy Spirit, because I don't know what we can do to convince people to get on board. But those that quarter of those people that filled out that survey would maybe go back to the vision and the mission and get excited about what God is doing, and that the Spirit would grab a hold of their heart and go, get on board, because this church has an awesome future and plenty of things in store. So I guess that's a challenge. I want to challenge the 22% to really get to know the heart of this place. I just want to share just a verse out of John 17. And that's there's a slide there for you so you can read along. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a beautiful verse of unity. And I don't encourage you with that verse this morning to just tidy up this little mess of, you know, there's 22% of us who are not on board. Unity is not about making the church nice. Unity is about letting the world see that Jesus is real, that he is alive, and that he has come to save the world. So part of me wants to say to the 22%, please, this is not the redeemed part of me speaking now. This is the rod part of me speaking. Part of me wants to say to the 22%, you got to get in or you got to get out of the way. But the reality is, the church isn't a Hilux. Have you seen the Hilux ads on TV? Get in or get out of the way. Church isn't a Hilux. The church is a group of people. I just want to encourage us to move forward into all God has for us. God is not done with this place. I so hope that you believe that. There's been too much invested, and the reality is that we are a huge kingdom resource, and God has blessed us in so many ways. And that leads me on to our next area, the area of our generosity. I just said then that we are a huge kingdom resource, an intellectual resource, and also a financial resource. And just want to share some figures with you now. You know, in those who filled out the survey, 42% of us are university trained. Now that is very, very high. 63% of us are employed. And here is the paradox that I want to share, that's highlighted in our survey. The paradox is that out of those surveyed, 56% of people give less than their 10%, less than 10% in this church. Now, what are some observations or some questions that come out of that for me? Well, if we nearly have 80% of people on board and committed to the vision of this church, why do only 44% of those surveyed give 10% to the local setting? There's a little bit of a paradox there. Can you see that? What does this say? Well, says to me a couple of things. It says that we're an honest group of people. It's good. There's an honest reflection of what we give. It also could say that the 80% figure is not quite right. Maybe we're not fully sold out to the direction and the vision of this church, because half of us are not sowing financially into the vision and the mission. Here is another paradox. Another paradox is that we are an extremely generous church. You know, week in, week out, we stand before you and we ask you to give. Give to causes that are right across this globe, and you dig deep every single week, and we praise God for your generosity. And right at this point, I just want to hand over to John, because he's got some pretty exciting things just to share about his trip to Klong Toei and some of the things that God's done over the last week.
Just want to put that next slide up, be helpful, because they're the questions that Rod's been referring to. You'll remember last week I threw out, just for a minute, I spoke about the Klong Toei situation, the unique opportunity for Ash Barker, Angie Barker, to see for the Tarua Church, this church in the slum, of them having facilities, and that we needed $30,000. $27,000 was what Ash had originally told me. They'd actually needed $30,000 to equip it, clean it up, and to finish off the payment of it. You remember me just throwing that out? And I said, look, any resources that come in to this need to come in over and above anything else that we're doing. We're strapped with our C2C giving. We don't want that to be affected in any way because we've got a growing missions family that we're seeking to encourage and support. So we don't want that. We're committed to everything we're doing in this place. So it's got to be over and above. I was overwhelmed. I just threw it out like that for 30 seconds or a minute in both services. And after each services, people were coming to me just stuffing notes in my pocket as I'm praying. There was about $500 cash in my pocket. Now, I've never walked away from a service ever in my life with $500 cash in my pocket. $490 actually, but when my daughter heard about that, she threw in the other 10, so made it an even $500. But businessmen came to me and said, look, we want to give you $1,000, and there were two or three of those. But from just some amazing, unlikely sources, can I just share with you that we have seen this week that target not only reached, but we have gone beyond to see that we're probably going to have the resources. I'm waiting on two more emails from people who contacted me, but it looks like we're going to also be able to build the church in Kandili in southern India that was destroyed by the typhoon. You are an amazingly generous people and you respond as God prompts you. And I just thrill to the way that God has moved in and through you. Isn't that worth celebrating? Your generosity. It's beautiful.
Excellent, John. You are extremely generous people. But the paradox in this all is that the at least 10% principle is something that less than half of us practice in this church. What does that say? Maybe it says to me that we are really interested on blessing the global church. And that is, heaven knows that they need to be blessed because there is a whole heap of need out there. And maybe less inclined to sow into the local mission. But can I encourage you, can I urge you to think about the fact that the more that we sow in this place, the more that we're going to be able to do to our immediate, we're going to be able to do in terms of ministry to our immediate community. So there's that paradox, globally, locally. Hope that you hear our heart there. Please don't hear us going, you know, you need to give more. It's a principle that the scriptures really encourage us to do. You know, it says in Luke 12:48, something that I really try to live by, to whom much is given, much is required. We are an extremely blessed church, and that means that God's entrusted us with that blessing so that we can then be a blessing to our community and to our world. So that's the second finding, those second findings that I've sort of looked at. And the third thing that I want to look at is the 30-somethings. As we looked at how our age graph goes, and I believe there's a bit of a slide there for you to look at, the 30-somethings are a superpower in this church. Believe it or not. Now, to me, that might just mean that we like filling out forms and no one else does. But I do actually think that there might be a little bit of a prophetic edge to what I'm about to say to the 30-somethings. 24% or a quarter of those surveyed are in the 30 to 39 bracket. And you know what? This bucks a huge trend here in WA and also nationally. The 30 to 39 age bracket in most other settings are in decline. And so a couple of questions that come out of that. What are the 30-somethings like about South Perth Church of Christ? And this is what our consultant sort of encouraged us to look at. So what are they into? Maybe their families who really enjoy the children's ministry because they've got young kids. I'm also fully aware that there are a number of 30-somethings who are single and who are potentially attracted to the social aspects of this church for that age group. Then the consultant encouraged us to look at this question: do they pull their weight? And this is where it sort of the focus comes in on really what I want to say. Are the 30-somethings in key leadership positions? And it's interesting, over the last couple of months, we've been talking to people about, you know, trends nationally and that kind of thing. And we've had one of our mentors say to us that the churches that are going anywhere in Australia are the churches where the older leadership has equipped and entrusted and released younger leaders to lead the church. And I just think there's something deeply prophetic about that, and something that we really need to look into. The age group of men and women in the ministry team here is just over the average age of the ministry team, which is probably the paid staff, is just over 40. We have Catherine Johnston, who's 17, all the way up to Graham Faulkner, who's about 75. No, I'm only joking. So he kind of brings it into the middle a bit more. So it's 40 plus. So it means that we're a fairly old sort of ministry team. Then we look at our male elders, and we've done the sums here, and the average age of our elders is approximately 54. Now, got to hear my heart here. I'm not saying get rid of the old boys, because I really honestly believe it's about team, and they have so much to offer those who are younger. And so please don't hear me, I'm not saying get rid of them. But what I am saying is that the younger men and the women need to step up in key areas of ministry and leadership in this church. So why do the 30-somethings shy away from leadership? Good question. I sort of thought about this a little bit because I'm in the age group, and the age group is an extremely busy group of people. They, you know, are studying degrees, multiple degrees. They're busy raising families. They take kids to 6 or 7 different sports on a Saturday and a Sunday. Busy, busy, busy people. So where is the space then to lead a church? Good question. They're also people, they're young people who have seen potentially, especially the people that have grown up in the church, they've seen their parents do leadership. And maybe that has caused them to shy away from stepping into key areas of leadership in a church. So I guess the challenge that I want to get across here is that it's absolutely imperative that the men and women of this superpower age group step up in leadership. I just hope that just God will call out, God will help us to see who these people are, and that we would have the guts to move into some directions where we're seeing these young people raised up in leadership. Because God has an awesome future ahead for us. And my prayer is that as we step up, that we would learn from those who've gone before us, and that we wouldn't do ministry at the expense of, you know, our marriages and our families. And so that is kind of what I want to say in there. I just was led to a couple of scriptures in Joshua, and just want to read this out and just pray that, you know, if you're 30-something sitting in the congregation today, that maybe God would speak to you out of these words. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Tanya encouraged us to pray for that right across our church. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Please remember that it's not our goal to make you more and more busier. What it is and what our prayer is that you would pray about the area of ministry that God is calling you to serve in, and that may be one area, and that you would grab that area and you would run with it and you would put your heart and your soul into it and you'd do your best there. And I think that if we all play our part in that, look out world, South Perth Church of Christ will make a significant impact on the world in which we live. So that's what I want to share. Hopefully there's some things there that God may have said through all that.
We just want to wrap up at this particular point. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to come along tonight and to dream and wrestle with us a little bit as we look at these things. There are so many different paradoxes that we could draw and bring out of the survey, and we have a lot to work on. We don't fully understand why that people affirm so strongly, if you look at this next slide, of inclusion, and yet didn't feel included. So we've got some work to do there. There are a whole heap of things like that we've got to address and work through prayerfully as we seek the Lord's direction. We encourage you, please come along and maybe share, and certainly pray for us as we want to discern the mind of God in this and some of the challenges that confront us. Another thing that Mike pointed out was that we see the leadership of the church as being very innovative. If you have a look at the second biggest ring there, up on the right, innovation. The church leadership is innovative, and yet the leadership of the church was the weakest quadrant. And it was surveying certain aspects of the leadership. What they're saying is that the leadership is not equipping the church as well as it could. And we said, ugh, that hurt a little bit. And we said, well, in a church like this, how can you equip the church? We struggle to see you come out of a Sunday night, or we struggle when we're doing equipping, and we struggle to see you come out during the week to be equipped. Now, we understand why. The demographics show us. Do you know that we have the highest proportion of any church surveyed in Western Australia that we're aware of degreed or qualified people? We have 44% of our church who were surveyed who have a degree. You're busy people. You have a lot of commitments through the week. But so we've got a challenge. How can we be innovative about that? How can we equip you and help you? So all of this feedback's really helpful. But how do we take a resource base like that of so many people who are equipped, how do we tap into that gift and bless our community and reach our community and beyond? That's a challenge, isn't it? A real challenge. So there's a lot of issues there for us to think through and to work through. We value your prayer in that. May again we go out into this week aware of the extravagant love of God, our Father, of Christ's amazing grace, and of the ever-present, living, indwelling power of His Spirit. Go in that grace. Go in that power. Go in that love to bless our world and to minister. God bless you. Let's enjoy a great time of family together.